One of the next things that's going to come down is when you start slashing and burning, when you have to cut back. And when I get into situations, when I look at companies, you always have to be concerned about the human nature of people. I mean, people need jobs. People need to survive. So you have responsibilities to your shareholders. You have responsibilities to the people who work for you. But you also have responsibilities to the general economic environment.
Welcome to 20 Minute Leaders. Just sit back, relax, and learn from the leaders of today. It's a journey. Each one is different, unique, inspiring. Let's get started.
20 Minute Leaders is a proud supporter of Make-A-Wish Israel and Tech to Peace, and is in proud collaboration with Secret Chord Ventures, J Ventures, Riverside FM, Fusion VC, Birthright Excel, J Impact, Leap, Google for Startups, and Hippo, and in media partnership with C-Tech.
Hello and welcome to 20 Minute Leaders. Today I'm with my friend Steven Gerbsman, nationally recognized crisis, turnaround CEO, restructuring professional, and private investment banker, who has been involved in maximizing enterprise value, stakeholder, and shareholder value in a broad variety of industries. He has worked with a wide spectrum of senior and junior lenders, bondholder groups, venture capital and private equity sources, private investors, and institutional groups. He has acted in the capacity of Crisis Turnaround CEO, Chief Restructuring Officer, Crisis Consultant, Private Investment Banker, Examiner for the Office of the United States Trustee, a member of the Board of Directors of various companies, and advisor to stakeholder groups. Mr. Gerbsman has over 54 years of senior management, marketing, sales, and finance experience, and has been involved in various business and investment ventures as an officer, director, consultant, and investor, both in the U.S. and internationally.
Steven Gerbsman, welcome to 20 Minute Leaders again. Thank you so much for being here. Michael. How are you?
I am well, and you're in Tel Aviv, as I understand.
Yes, I am. And it's really, really great to have you here with me. We had such an awesome conversation last time, and I look forward to continuing it. I believe it was maybe like a year and a half ago. And so very timely with all the different crazy things that are happening in the markets and all the different, these last few years have been so incredible from so many different perspectives on what's been happening with companies. And so I'm excited to talk to you today about why some companies succeed and some fail, and ultimately a little bit about the black swan. So Steven, take it away. Why, in your opinion, do companies succeed, companies fail?
It's real simple. There are three words: cash, cash, and cash. There are other issues that affect that. But let me take you back in a second from strategic stuff. We've been in business 40 years. And, I always like to say the more things change, the more they remain the same. You had a cycle in 1980. You had a cycle in 1989, 92, 98, 2001, 2008, 2014. All these cycles were pressured by various economic situations in relationship to the stock market, to the Fed. And it always revolves around where people are in cash. Typically, most venture companies or private equity companies or even public companies, when they raise money, they have a certain amount of runway. And let me talk about basically venture capital and senior lenders. Typically when companies raise $10 to $200 million, they're in different cycles. They're in medical device, life science, technology, software, solar, energy. Really doesn't matter. But they have a certain amount of runway, and to the extent that after typically 18 months to 2 years, stuff happens, and it could be market, could be competition, it could be gross margin, it could be management, it could be strategy, or any or all the above. But they all revolve around the issue of cash, where ultimately people need new cash. And the private equity, the venture capital people, or the banks are basically saying, no mas. And if I am going to give you more money, I have to have a leap of faith belief that there's something there. Now, there's something called a black swan, which is always scary. And, I've alluded to the fact in a couple of writings that the black swan shows up every now and then. And then there's a tipping point. Well, we're in a black swan right now. We're in an atypical situation. We have oil. We got Iran. We got China. We got interest rates. We got what's going on in Europe. You got Ukraine. There are all these things that are happening that sort of create havoc. And if you noticed a couple of days ago, in England, the bank, did something with their own, banks and trying to make sure that the balance sheets were solid. And they made them buy back, some bonds. So the issue about why things happen, it's market, it's competition, but it's also timing. And this happens probably every 4 to 6 years. And if you go back to history, the numbers work. I lived through the 70s. I remember 72 when the market was, really crashed. And then we had those oil lines, and then people got better. Then 78, you had the oil lines. Then Reagan came in, you had 19% interest rates. Then you had 87 when the market blew up. Then you had, 92 when a lot of the investment banks had a problem. Then you had 2001. So, just stuff happens. So the real issue, why companies succeed and why companies fail, and I'm going to give you a couple of reasons, but it'll always end up with cash, really relies on what I call the board of directors' responsibility to hold senior management responsible and accountable. And that's my biggest gripe over the years as a CEO, investment banker, investor, operator, crisis manager. Typically you want to see, companies have strategic plans, tell me what's going to happen and monitor it and see what you did. Either, here's the goal for the next 3 months. And then what happened? One of the big issues is what I will call the lack of financial controls. Not saying they aren't there, but people, when things are well, everything is good. When things started getting challenging, you start looking and you find all the loopholes. And one of the things that I totally recommend people to do, from a cold cock startup to no matter how your business is to do bottoms up, go forward financial planning. Let me tell you what bottoms up means. You go through and you look at your people, you look at your expenses, you look at the realistic, sales projections, you look at the cost of goods, et cetera. When I see sales numbers as an example on forecasts, I always question, tell me about the sale. I mean, you got revenue that turns into cash, how long, when? But really, what is the architecture of a sale? Meaning, I make a sales call on you, Michael. You're going to take time to make a decision. Could be 1 month, 3 months. Once you make that decision, I got to ship the product. Once I ship the product, you got to install it. Once you install it, I got to get paid. And there's a cycle in there. And typically, a lot of the projections are way too aggressive. And, you look at all the companies that have gone through in the technology world. You look at Meta as an example. You look at solar. You look at energy. Some of this is real. Some of this is puff. One of the things that's happened, Bill Gurley is a real good proponent of this at Benchmark, is, you got to hold people responsible, accountable, and you got to do financial planning from the bottoms up. It's that simple. It's not magic. The same skills and disciplines that you had in 1950, 1960, 1980, 2020 are the same that you need all along. And it's basically people have to live through it because it's hard. It's like, my grandson is now 14, and you try to lead and teach your grandson, and your grandson is telling you, "Grandpa, don't bother me. I'll learn it myself." You have to learn it yourself. And we're going through one of these cycles now that, I think is going to get a lot worse before it gets a lot better. I don't know. Does that answer your question?
No, definitely. Let's dive into a little bit better. You talked a little bit about, board responsibility, holding senior management accountable. You talked about, cash is king and different things that perhaps senior management and, should do. And in these times, what's happening right now as you see it? So, if we're looking at different companies today, different senior management that may be listening to this or considering their own situations, what are some ways that you're thinking about this that are useful from your vast experience that would allow for a company to come out on top rather than fail at these situations?
Well, look, the first thing is you got to be realistic and move your ego aside. We're in totally atypical times, as we have been in 2001 and 2008 as an example. which means it's hard to project what's going to happen, you know, on a go-forward basis. First thing you look at is you look at your people and you look at your cost of doing business. That's why you see all these cutbacks coming in the companies, because people are top heavy. So it's easy to manage against cost. You look at what you got, you look at your delivery systems, you look at the production aspects, you know, you put performance milestones out there, et cetera. So cost is one aspect. Revenue is always the toughest. And it's, you know, everybody's talking about when first quarter or second quarter projections come out, they're going to be changed and down, or they don't know. And, you know, I would always incur being err on the side of cautiousness and conservatism in the revenues, because it's always better to beat something and say, I beat it, rather than, you know, look what happened. Why, you know, try to explain the miss. But that, you know, they all relate to cash. Because ultimately, you need enough to get through the process of the timing of whatever the black swan, the tipping point, the changes, economic situations, cultural situations, et cetera. And I just come back to it because, you know, in my age, you know, you hear about North Korea shooting off rockets, and you hear China closing its gates, and you hear all this stuff about going on in Ukraine, and should we support them, and do we go to war, and, you know, It's real hard. So you have to have enough to weather the storm. And, you know, one does not know when the storm ends. So you be conservative. You manage on a monthly to quarterly basis. You say, here are my objectives, both on a sales, operational, strategic, cost standpoint, and let's see what happens. And the realistic, and this is where the challenge comes through. I've been through four generations now of venture capital people and two or three of bankers, and also where the CEOs are. The CEOs are getting younger. And if you haven't been through this, you're too optimistic. You know, you got to listen to some gray hair or no hair and say, be conservative. It's okay. You're not going to get the rocket right away, because it isn't 4 years ago when interest rates were flying and everybody was making a ton of money, et cetera. So It's the learning experience. And this is where I always, you know, and it's easy because I'm an outside guy that comes in and sees the stuff. I always look at the board, and is the board holding people responsible and accountable? And part of the investor group that's out there, they have so many things going on that they don't have the time to either nurture or follow up. If you find the better companies and the better equity sponsors, they're spending more time with their portfolio companies, and they're working with them to, you know, give them the guidance they need. You know, we'll see what happens. I mean, these are, you know, perilous times, and we'll get through them. There's no question we get through it. The question is, how much do you have to bleed and how much do you have to prepare, you know, et cetera. One of the next things that's going to come down is when you start slashing and burning, when you have to cut back. And when I get into situations, when I look at companies, you always have to be concerned about the human nature of people. I mean, people need jobs. People need to, you know, survive. So you have responsibilities to your shareholders. You have responsibilities to the people who work for you. But you also have responsibilities to, you know, the general economic environment. So you have to see what happens. The other thing is, you know, when you look at government, one can look at whether or not all the government subsidies that have come out over the past 3 or 4 years make sense or not. And, you know, look, you have to have sensitivity that people need to survive and everything else. But on the other side, there needs to be balance. And history repeats itself. We're, you know, go 5,000 years and you have all these empires that go up and down. And, you know, the United States now is what, 250, whatever the number is, years, 1776, 242 years old. And if you look at previous, eras, you know, we're a little late in that cycle, and we got to, you know, make sure that we take care and understand, you know, the balance, the economic versus the social versus the realistic.
So for young entrepreneurs that are building their companies, and, you know, part of the consideration is, how do you bring on the right people to help you grow as a company, reach that hockey stick growth, optimize for your product, your ARR, et cetera. It sounds like what you're saying here throughout the sentiment that I hear is that this is not enough. There's complexities that you need to understand to withstand storms to go through with a lot of respect and dignity. And part of that is creating a cohesive group around you that is going to hold you accountable and will advise you on how to change strategies when needed. How do young entrepreneurs like myself starting out ventures, seed, series A stages, think through these concepts in a mature way and create an environment around us that allows us to nurture these situations and to succeed with them?
If I had answers to that question, I'd be really good. It's a tough question.
Well, you are good. That's why I'm asking you.
So there are two issues that you deal with. You have to feel comfortable with people that you're either mentoring you or giving you guidance and that you have confidence in. And as the CEO, you have to move your ego aside a little bit. And now you're running a company, you've raised some money and you're in a hot market, and be able to listen. Listening is very, very hard at all levels. Okay. So if you find that person and that mentor, and it's only one or two people that you really want to bounce things off of. I mean, you can have a board and you can talk, but you need a mentor and you need somebody to talk to that gives you the comfort, not to say you're right, but to say, have you thought about these things, to stimulate you, and not to give you the answers, to stimulate you into a dialogue. The second thing is you got to hire and train good people. People that are not yes people, people that will tell you what's wrong, what's right, people that will come to you and say, Michael, here's the problem and here's how I look to solve it, and I'd like you to think about it. I remember I ran a $250 million company in the 70s in the technology world.
Wow.
And one of the things I learned a long, long time ago is you hire strong people who can challenge you and not afraid to challenge you and stimulate you and come up and say to you, because as I was going on the way up from a branch manager, regional manager, vice president, president reporting to somebody else, I always, when something happened, said, let me share with you what the problem is and what I am going to do to solve the problem. I'm coming to you with a solution, and you at least have developed confidence in me that I can, be able to work through the situation. Now, you may agree or disagree, because if you're higher up in a chain, but hiring strong and capable people is not necessarily easy. The second thing is that in today's world, and I've lectured at Stanford and a couple of other places, and I see all the MBAs go through the school and everybody wants to be an entrepreneur and raise money. My recommendation is go get a job. Make a sales call. Go down in the manufacturing plant. Close an order. Find out what it is to collect accounts payable. Play with the numbers to see what sales look like. Make some sales projections. And it's not for everybody, but I think it's for most people, because it's the few that are really, out there. They may get lucky, but there also could be good. That could be the entrepreneurs. But learning and getting a job, to me, is extremely important. You got to come from somewhere. I came from the IBM Corporation. I'm proud of that. In the 1960s, they were king. They were Apple. They were Google, whatever. And each year, generations, you have people, where you come from. You got to come from someplace. So that's something I'd strongly recommend to entrepreneurs. And find those people, again, that have, good strategic advice for you as well. Don't be afraid to make a decision. And if it's wrong, you admit it. And you say, here's what I did, and here's what I'm going to do to solve the problem at whatever level. And that's not easy. But you'll learn about it because you have to.
And it sounds like you need to surround yourself with people that are going to give you that feedback. Sounds like what you're mentioning is not trivial for anybody to do. And you mentioned this, listening is hard on all levels, right? And so it sounds like part of the process, as you're also growing and maturing as a leader, is to surround yourself with people that will hold you accountable to these traits and these qualities, right?
Go into a meeting, how many meetings have you been in where the lead person sits and talks and pontificates, tell you how good it's going to be and what their thoughts are, and doesn't really ask questions? Okay? Think about that the next time you go in there. And go into a meeting where somebody would say, okay, I want to do this, but Jim, Jane, John, Pamela, what do you think? How do we go about this? The person that asks the questions is really the true leader, okay? And I've been in both types. You know, you sit and you go back and I'm the guy's the expert or the woman's the expert. They're not. Okay. It's a team effect in life.
Yeah. I love that. And it sounds like in these crazy times, what it sounds like, you know, everybody keeps talking about, you know, the crazy times we're at. But what I think one of the key elements that I'm leaving this with is saying it's a cycle. And yes, it's crazy times.
No, but it's always crazy times.
And we will survive.
And then it all repeats itself in some different way, shape, or form. And it's good leadership that sustains over time. And, you know, we have a lifetime of entrepreneurial adventures, and every person has so many different experiences.
Go ahead. I started off with a comment that my grandmother told me way back when. The more things change,
the more they stay the same.
Because it's a cycle. Yeah, it's just reality. It's life. It happens. You just accept it. And for those people that can want the edge and they can listen and understand that and think, you know,
all about listening. Stephen, I really, really want to appreciate your time again. I can't believe, you know, four decades of experience, putting it into 20 minutes is impossible. And so I'm already looking forward to our third episode to slowly uncover the pieces. But this was a very, very enjoyable time for me and leaving me thinking both about my own leadership, the leadership of others around me, my role in their journey, the people that I'm surrounding myself with, my journey. And so thank you very, very much, Stephen. Stay safe and stay healthy. And I look forward to our next episode.
I'll give you one last thought.
Please.
Remember, if you are the CEO, you are responsible and accountable to take care of your people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Too many people say, I'm going to take care of myself. You take care of your people, you will be taken care of.
Right. Okay? I love that.
Very, very important. It's all about people, buddy. Michael, you're the best. Thank you. God bless you. And see you.
Thank you very much.